All right, here we go. All right, welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor, where we are encouraged and equipped to nurture the hope of Christ in our home. So today I have here with me Kim Wall, and I'm going to get you to introduce yourself, Kim, because I don't know terribly much about you. So tell us all about you.
Okay, well, my name is Kim Wall, and I am married to the sweetest man alive. His name is Bill. We've been married for 33 years, and we currently live on the beautiful shores of Lake Huron in Port Huron, Michigan. It's gorgeous. I absolutely love it here, though I am not from here.
Okay.
I'm a Southern girl. Mm. Bill and I met in college, and we're college sweethearts. So I am have deep, deep Louisiana roots. So if you hear a little bit of an accent, that's where it's from, because I am not a Midwesterner. But we are co-lead pastors at the River Church here in Port Huron. And in May, we'll be celebrating 7 years of being in this position. We have three kids. They're all adults. Our oldest is Gabrielle, and she is married to Scott. He's a great guy. You spend your kid's life praying for the mate for your child.
Yeah.
And so God, I just have to tell you, for both of my girls, because they're both married, he was just so faithful to do that. I could not have picked a better man for either one of them. So Gabrielle is married to Scott, and they have a little boy, Josiah, who is 5 years old, adorable. And then Danielle is married to Dylan. He is another great guy, perfect for her. I can't say enough good stuff about either one of my sons-in-law. They're great men of God. They're intelligent, they're kind, they love Jesus, they're great daddies, they love my daughters well, so I just love them. They have a little boy named Judah. He turned 2 this week, and she is pregnant with number 2. She's due in September. And then our baby is Stefan, and he is not married, so we are still praying her in. So looking forward to the day that we get to meet his wife. So that's kind of our life in a nutshell right there.
That is very cool. Thank you for sharing. So you are like the perfect mom mentor for us. Sometimes we have younger moms, which also make great mentors, but we really love to have moms who are a little bit further on the journey. So.
Yes. Yes. My babe, our first daughter is 31, and then Danielle, the middle one, is 28, and Stefan is 26. So yeah, I'm an empty nester.
Yeah,
for sure. And I'm enjoying this phase, but yeah. Yeah, I've got experience. I got some miles down the road on that whole mama thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So tell us, how did you see God work in your life while you were raising your kids? How did you connect? Well, maybe an easier question is, how did you keep that relationship going with God? Yeah. While your kids were younger, or you know, maybe while they were really young, or when they were older and you were driving them everywhere? Or...
Yeah. You know, that's a great question, because you know, I think that is something that everybody struggles with, regardless of what season of life that they're in.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I would tell myself, okay, it will change when, you know, whatever season I'm in, it'll change when they can go to the potty by themselves. It will change when they can brush their own teeth, you know. Yeah. It will change when I don't have to help so much with homework. It will change when they learn how to drive. It will change when they're going to college. And the reality is, it did change, but not like I thought it would change. It was a different kind of busy. It all stayed busy. And so I think what I've learned in my parenting, you know, journey is everybody struggles with distractions.
Oh, yeah.
Because mainly it's distractions. And I'm not necessarily saying that our kids are distractions, but all the things that you have to do as a mom. Mm-hmm. Can be distractions from your relationship with Jesus. And so it's learning how to manage the distractions. Mm-hmm. It's learning what you're going to do with those things and how you're going to navigate through. Particularly some seasons seem to be full of distractions.
Yeah.
Where others, you know, not so much, but they're still there, you know, for sure. And I think that, you know, and it's interesting, I just spoke in January on a message about distractions. And on our website, we're talking about in March, the month of March, we're going to be talking about distractions, because I do believe everybody struggles with this, because it's distractions that prevent you from fanning the flame. But keeping your flame from burning bright. In fact, sometimes distractions can even reduce or limit or even smother your flame, because you get so consumed with things, even if it's the right thing. Get so consumed with trying to be an amazing mom and always do the right things for your kid, or be an amazing wife, or be a fantastic employee, you're doing great at your job. I mean, whatever it is, you know, and those are honorable things. Those are good things, because as believers, we should be a good parent. We should be a good spouse. We should be good employees, you know, and we get consumed with that and we forget the most important thing. And so I think in my journey, what I have learned probably the best way to do that is two separate things. And first, it's create and develop a mindset or a perspective that Jesus is the center of absolutely everything. And it's coming to the realization that salvation was not an experience where you added Jesus to your life. But, you know, because we always say, I'm inviting him into our heart.
Right.
You know, that's common terminology in Christian language. But it's understanding that you didn't invite him in. What you were supposed to do was give it to him. I give you my heart. And therefore, he then possesses it and has control over it. This takes you into the whole submission and surrender thing. But it's like, okay, Jesus, I'm giving you this. And I'm moving everything out so that you can come and occupy every nook and cranny of my existence. And then you start building on life from there. And so I think the first step to staying connected to the heart of the Father in really crazy, hectic, busy seasons, and there will always be those, is having that perspective shift of understanding, I can't just set him to the side. I can't put this on hold, but he has everything. And so he's got to... he's got to be at the center of everything. I'm not just adding him to a section of my life, but he's the foundation and the center. And I don't think we spend enough time thinking about that. And understanding the place that Jesus is supposed to have in our life, and that he is supposed to be dead center. And anything that would come and move him from the center to my peripherals, even if it's my kids, is in the wrong place. And so even if anything shifts him just slightly off center, he's still close to the center, but he's not center, you know, then that thing has been prioritized incorrectly. I'm not saying it has to go. I'm just saying it has the wrong priority. And so then I think from there, you know, once you have that mindset and you've spent some time meditating on it, ruminating on it, and embracing that idea, it's then lifestyle is number two. And so from that mindset, we develop a life that makes space for intimacy, where that becomes a non-negotiable. You know, for me, going to the bathroom is a non-negotiable.
Me too.
So, you know what I'm saying? I can't believe that, you know. But it's amazing that we think that Jesus can be a negotiable thing in our life. I don't have time to do that today. I'm too busy. I don't have time to... you know, read my Bible or do the devotion, or I have time to pray, you know, and before you know it, then it's like days or weeks before any of that has happened. And that is going to smother the flame in your life. And so it's deciding that I have to build this life where he's the center, and I have to make space for intimacy with him. And then that carries through everything, because a lot of times we compartmentalize our life for simplicity, and that helps us navigate through particularly hectic times. And so, you know, we have our work life and our mom life and our wife life and extended family, and then we have our Christian life. And so even if we're very disciplined and we pull out our Jesus box every morning and we get our Bible out, we get our devotion out, and we get our journal out, and we do all the things that we know we're supposed to do, and we check that off our good girl list, we put it back in the box, it goes back on the shelf, and then now I can move to all the other places of my life. I can be mom now, or I can be employee, or I can be volunteer, or whatever it is that we're doing. And it's understanding that that can't be the lifestyle, but we've got to embrace, you know, what Holy Spirit told us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And that is not, you know, getting on our knees every moment of the day, but what that is doing is carrying him making him the center moment by moment by moment every day, so that it's not this box that we pull out when we need it, but it's the lifestyle. It's the way we live. And we do that by converting all of our thoughts into conversation with Jesus. So it's not like, it's very practical, which makes it very doable, you know, because sometimes we over-spiritualize the relationship. And it's relationship. And I'm already thinking, like I'm thinking a million things. And so all I have to do is take that thought and say, Jesus, here's what I think. Jesus, what am I supposed to make for dinner? I know that sounds really simple and foolish, but if he's at the center of everything, then he's at the center of everything.
That's exactly that idea of practicing the presence of God, of just connecting with him all the time and inviting him into. Who was that? Brother Lawrence that talked about that?
Yes.
It actually is possible to connect with God all the time. And I love this idea. It's less of like putting God first, which would, what you were kind of talking about, like I pull out my Jesus box and I put God first and then I put him away and then I get to the other things on my list of things. But really it's more of like, I was drawing a circle here. Like Jesus is in the middle and he's permeates everything.
Correct.
So that is a very different way of approaching our faith than just putting God first. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that sentiment, but I like the visual of the circle better. I think it speaks more to what it is.
That's absolutely right. Because, you know, the other way is this pyramid. Bill and I always talk about this, and there's this outline that's this pyramid shaped thing that a lot of teachers and pastors and, you know, spiritual people will give us and say, God first, family second, then your church, you know, and it's this hierarchical thing when the reality is that's not even biblical.
Right.
The biblical thing is it's Jesus. It's Jesus. He is at the center, and it's this thing like you're talking, it's the circle. Like, and I like to think about wagon wheel because a wagon wheel has all these different spokes. And so he is fueling every aspect of my life. Yeah. He's giving me wisdom. He's giving me direction. He's giving me insight. He is solving the problem because he already has the answer to the problem, you know. And if everything is coming from him, then everything is going to be fueled by him. There will be grace for those things. And it simplifies life. Because I think the enemy would have us believe that living like this is hard and complicated and difficult, when the reality is living with Jesus at the center, with all of these, where he's fueling all the spokes that go off in our wheel, actually simplifies things. Because if he's in the middle, I don't have to problem solve.
Sure.
If he's in the middle, I don't have to figure out what my next step is. Because I'm now so intimate with him, as I've converted every thought into conversation with him, and I've created this lifestyle of intimacy where I am tuning in to listen to his voice. He's whispering to me all throughout the day. Then I know, because the word says, I go before you, I'm behind you, I will tell you whether to go left or go right. And so he's saying all of that. I just have to create a lifestyle that enables me to hear what he is saying.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about converting our thoughts into conversation. Is it just like you remind yourself, oh yeah, I want to talk to Jesus about that? How do you develop that habit?
Well, I do agree with you. It is a habit. It is a it's a discipline, which I hate to use the word discipline because discipline just sounds so not fun, but it really is. And it takes time. You're not going to start this practice tomorrow and have it nailed by the end of the week. Yeah. It's a process. It is a process. And I am much better than I was at it years ago. But I still have moments when I realize, wow, I am way down the road on this thing, and I have no idea what you think about this, Jesus. I don't know where I'm supposed to go, and I've created 25 scenarios based upon how, well, if this, then that, and then if that, then I'll do this, you know, and I've got plan A, B, C, and D, you know, and Jesus is like, really, you don't have to do all of that, because he whispers. You know, right, he whispers and says, you know, if you want to talk to me about this, I can give you clear cut directions. I can show you. Now, he never gives us the big picture all at one time. It's, you know, Stormy O'Mardian wrote a book one time, which I really love. It's called Just Enough Light for the Step That I'm On. So that's the difference between partnering with Jesus and then trying to manage it all for ourselves, because we will stand at the helm of something and try to map out every aspect.
Yeah.
Here's all the nuances. And so if this happens, I'll do this. But if that happens, then I'll go in this direction and, you know, think of all, flesh out all the details. And Jesus is not going to do that for you. He knows the beginning from the end. He has all of that. But in cultivating the relationship so that you'll keep talking to him.
Yeah.
You'll keep listening to him. Right. Then he's just going to give you, okay, I want you to do this. Rest, trust in me. And then I'll give you your next step when it's time to take that, you know? And so I think that when you have that understanding, that's why I said at the beginning, you've got to meditate and really spend time thinking about and shifting your perspective and creating that mindset of it's Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I gave him my heart. I gave him everything that I had. So I no longer have that. And really letting that become, you know, your reality. And then from there, it's easier to make the lifestyle shift where every conversation, every thought you have becomes a conversation. And then listening for his voice when he tells you, hey, you know, you've gone into a monologue. You've got the soliloquy going on when reality is we're supposed to be having a conversation. We're supposed to be having a dialogue.
Right.
And then, okay, I'm sorry. Let me stop. Let me back up. I'll surrender all of that to you. Now, what are you saying and where you're going? Mm-hmm. I think it's also helpful to, I'm a huge proponent on memorizing scripture. Okay. You know, we think that is like very Sunday school, and that's what little kids do in Sunday school. But we really need to continue that all throughout our life. And so I have scripture on note cards, and you know, they're stuck everywhere. And those are points that remind me, you know, even if I'm not working on the scripture, I see the card, I know what the card is. It's a memory verse that pulls my thoughts back to God. And I think sometimes we think, because it goes back to this whole compartmentalization mentality, that we can't talk about that with God because I'm complaining or I'm angry or I've got a thought that like, I really am wishing ill on someone because I'm angry with them or I dislike them, or even, you know, there are times that we've said, I hate this person because of an experience we had. And so, okay, God, I need to disconnect from you for a moment because I have those thoughts. And we know those aren't right thoughts, but those aren't good thoughts. And so I'm going to go into the closet, shut my door, and have these thoughts apart from you. But the truth is, Jesus is saying, that's really when you need to dialogue with me. Yeah. And don't change the conversation. Don't change what you're thinking. If you're angry, let's tell me that you're angry. If you're disappointed, tell me that you're disappointed. If you think you hate someone, tell me about that. Just get it all out, because then you're at a place where he can come in and help you navigate through the anger or the disappointment or the dislike or the hate or the frustration or whatever it is that you've got that is negative. And so it's understanding that every part he wants to be a part, he wants to be at the center of, and he doesn't care if it's messy. He's okay with the messy. He would rather you pull him into the messy, even more than, I mean, he wants to be a part of it all, but it's more important for us, he understands, for him to be a part of our messy than it is for it to be part of the good part, the good times.
You know, this reminds me of something. Probably you'd be like, how did this remind you of that? But my son has been learning like a bunch of like Greek myths and stuff. So there's the story of Hercules and the 12 labors that he has to do. And one of them is he has to clean out the stalls of this guy who's got 3,000 cattle and he hasn't cleaned his stalls in like 30 years. So Hercules is like, how am I going to clean this up? So what he does is he redirects a river and it washes it all out. And as you were talking, I was just having this image of all this stuff that we can't clean up on our own.
Yeah.
And it's just full. And we're like, we don't want to let God in because it looks like it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. But really what we just need to do is just let God redirect that river and come and wash it clean. And then Who knew Greek mass would be so useful in our spiritual life, right?
It is, though. It is. That's very helpful. That is a great imagery for what he really wants to do, you know. And you know, again, we have backward thinking of how it's really supposed to be. And we think, oh, God comes into the happy places, or maybe I'm sad, and so he comes into that. Hmm. And we think it's not okay for him to be in the middle of the messy places, the stinky places,
yeah,
you know. And that is what really makes all the difference in our journey with him and keeping him at the center, which then fans the flame. If he stays at the center, then the flame of passion for him grows instead of diminishes, even in the difficult times, the trials, the things that catch us unaware, the things that we didn't expect, mm-hmm. and that we're now shocked or reeling from. The flame is still burning as intensely as we've been living out the practice of him being at the center and having discussions with him about everything. So we navigate those places a lot easier than mm-hmm. we would have normally.
Okay. So the answer to my question about how you connect with God when your kids are growing up is we have lots of conversations with him. This has been fantastic. I have loved this sermon. This is why you were a pastor. This is great. All right. Yeah. Well, okay. So let's move a little sideways a little bit. So as we do that, as we're connecting with God, one of the metaphors that we use for that is growing in the fruit of the Spirit, which is something that I kind of originally got you on to talk about. So can you tell us about how you have seen God help you grow in the fruit of the Spirit as you've been, you know, converting your thoughts into conversation with him and letting him guide your steps?
Absolutely. You know, first I will say for me, the big aha moment I had about the fruit of the Spirit and that developing was the realization that it wasn't something that was external to me and that I had to get
right
and develop and grow. But it was the realization that when I gave my heart to him, then everything that he is moved into me, which means the totality of his existence, his character, his person, and the byproducts of his existence are now living inside of me. So that's what the fruit of the Spirit is it is, you know, the byproduct of his character. It is what you see when perfection exists. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's his perfection produces those things. And so then now that lives inside of me. And so I had spent so much of my life trying to be good or be patient or exercise self-control, thinking it was all contingent upon my self-will and my efforts to grow that, to have that, to do that on my own. And so the day that I had that epiphany and realized, wait, I'm not trying to get something. I already have all of that.
Yep.
What I'm trying to do is to connect with that and let him live through me. So the more I become like him, the more those things become evident in my life. And wow, that just changed everything for me. It changed everything for me and changed the way I lived. I stopped striving. I was just working so hard. I was working so hard and killing myself and beating myself up because I wasn't measuring up to that standard. And when all of a sudden I realized, okay, if it's Kim no longer lives, but it's Christ that lives inside of me, then what I think needs to be surrendered to him, and then I need to let the mind of Christ, the person of Christ, just come to the forefront, mm-hmm. which then means, okay, I'm very frustrated right now. And I things aren't moving as quickly as I want to, or this woman is not, you know, the line at the grocery store is a bazillion miles long, you know? So obviously I'm talking about patience here. Or this should be an easy fix. Why am I still waiting on you or waiting on this to happen or whatever? So now I'm talking with him all the time and he gives me his perspective. He lets me see from his vantage point what's really happening right now. Mm-hmm. So Kim, this is not about you waiting in line at the grocery store. This is about you displaying my fruit in front of the people that are giving my character, giving a bite, a slice, taste and see that the Lord is good, giving them a bite of me while the rest of them are having a meltdown. You are carrying peace because you are, you know how to wait. You know what waiting is supposed to look like. And then in the middle of that, I can hear him say, now I want you to share the gospel with this person right here. Or I want you to encourage this person right here. Or I want you to notice this. I don't want you to say anything, but I want you to pray for them. And so it's having those little conversations with him all throughout allows him to bring himself to the forefront, because that's the goal, right? Is to be more like Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, that means I am displaying his character, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, you know, all those nine aspects of the fruit in every situation, in every aspect of my life, I'm letting him come to the surface. And then he tells me that, because I think before I was trying to look at how am I going to be gentle in every situation of the rest of my life. And he's like, how about we don't worry about the rest of your life and we just figure out right now, you know, and I can tell you right now, and then I'll give you the grace, you know. So grace is, yes, it's the unmerited favor of God, but a function of grace is the supernatural power to do what you could not do otherwise.
Yes. Yeah.
So now you've asked me to show me what's going, to show you what's going on right now. And I'm giving you that. And I'm asking you to submit and surrender the frustration that you have or whatever it is that you're feeling. But we're talking about patience right now. Mm-hmm. To surrender that frustration. And then I want to give you my perspective in exchange for that. And then you can display that to other people, and people are going to see me. So it's like carrying the fruit is organic evangelism.
Hmm. Okay.
It's displaying who he is. And then when people notice that you are different, they want to know why you're different.
Yeah. And we should be different.
Yes.
Like if we're actually growing in these things, the world is not full of love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness.
Yes.
So that is absolutely definitely a very different way to live.
It is. It is a very, and it's the kingdom way to live. Hmm. That's how we're supposed to be living. That's what makes Jesus so attractive.
Yeah.
To the world around us.
People flock to him, right? In the Gospels.
Exactly. They fall in love with him because they see something that is nowhere else.
Yes.
And so if I really believe he lives inside of me, then what I give people should be something like they've not seen anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It should be an encounter and experience that doesn't compare to somebody else. Yeah. But I don't have to work on that and making it happen. I just have to listen to him and then draw from the grace. Okay, so Jesus, you're asking me not to lose my cool right now. Okay. Because there's a bigger thing here than me just not getting out of the grocery store in the time that I wanted to get out. Something bigger is happening here. And so I have to have your grace, that power to do what I could not otherwise do, to carry this out, to execute this. And then he's just so faithful, and bam, he just downloads that extra measure of grace so that you can be like him. And it really is a beautiful way to live. You know, my husband and I were just having lunch with somebody Saturday, and we didn't realize it, but the restaurant closed. And so an hour after it closed, it's just the four of us sitting at the table, and we're just having Jesus conversation, you know, but we're not loud or anything. We're just talking about, you know, the Bible and what Jesus is doing in our life and that kind of thing. And eventually the owner comes up and she says, I am so, like, you don't know how sorry I am to tell you that we're closed and a private event is starting in like 5 minutes. And so I'm going to need y'all to leave. She said, but no, this is the world's language. Okay. This is not, you know, how we as Christians would frame this, but she said, but the energy that you brought into this place, that's why I don't want you to leave.
Wow.
And if I didn't have an event, I would just let you keep sitting here and doing what you're doing while I, you know, did the stuff that I need to do. She said, but I got other people coming. She said, but like, I don't know what the deal is, but like the room is just crazy because y'all are here. but like in a good way. And so, of course, you know, Bill's like, well, that's because it's Jesus. Like he lives inside of us. And so he goes everywhere we go. And so that's what you're feeling. That's what you're picking up is Jesus. That is what it's supposed to look like to carry the fruit, for that to be very evident in our life, is that people in a very practical, tangible way. I mean, did we lead her to Jesus and she said the sinner's prayer? No, she didn't. But she'll remember us the next time we come in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And she will be more open to talking to us about other kind of stuff because she can tell something is different.
That's cool. I love that. Yeah. So we just have a few minutes left here. My violin teacher is about to walk in the door.
That'll
be an interesting sound because my boys just started. So.
Oh, fun.
So it's like tuning and dogs. So, but just before we finish up, do you have any last like advice or encouragement for moms who really, really want this in their life? They really want to center their life on Christ, but they're struggling to make that a reality. Do you have any encouragement for us, them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, first off, one of the things here, let me encourage you to do this. Deuteronomy talks about talking about the law, talking about scripture, talking about the principles of God continually, keeping it in front of your children, keeping it as a part of your discussion. And then Psalms goes back and reiterates that. I think it's in Psalm 78 where it says, you know, you're going to learn the hidden lessons of who I am when you teach the stories and you talk about me. You know, you're not going to hide these truths, but you're going to keep it at the forefront. And so for me, one of the easiest ways to practice this and live this out is make Jesus the topic of conversation. You know, when you meet me, and in fact, you probably noticed when you said, Kim, tell me about yourself. The very first thing I said was, I am married to the sweetest man alive. His name is Bill. Anybody that meets me knows immediately I am married and his name is Bill. And I think he's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm an evangelist for Bill Wall because he is, he's an incredible man. And so take that idea and apply it to Jesus. He's so incredible.
Yes.
And what he has done for me is beyond words. I'm not the same. I'm not who I should have been. And I'm not who I could have been. But Jesus came and rescued me. And my life is completely different. And so I talk about him all the time. You know, Bill and I talk about him a lot. And I talk about him with my friends and my sister-in-law. And he's woven into my conversations because he's the center.
Wow.
And so I think that if we practice that by putting him in the middle of our conversations, and it might feel awkward at first if that's not your habit. It might feel awkward. But that's okay. You got to go.
Well, the doorbell just rang. So far, the dogs are not yelling, but
okay.
Okay. So, oh man, that was bad timing.
Yes. So, but you know, just talk about him, talk about him, talk about him, talk about him. And if you do that, it makes it easier to keep him the center, and it's worth the effort. It's worth the work that it takes to do this. You know, nobody said following Jesus was going to be easy.
Right.
It's not. And so do the work. It will change your life. It will revolutionize your life. It will change your home. It will change your kids. It will change your family tree. It'll change everything.
Wow. Amen.
Preach. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Kim. Now, you mentioned that you were going to be doing a series on distractions on your website. Can you send me the link so that I can post those?
I can. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Thanks so much, Kim, for being with us for this half an hour-ish. I can say for myself that I've really learned a lot from this and have been encouraged, and I know that it's going to be super encouraging for everyone else too. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it so much. You're precious.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye, Kim.
Bye-bye.